Our scripture comes to us from Ruth today.
Chapter 1,
verse 16, it starts. Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me. Be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Boaz replied, I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge.
Attention back to the scripture that Brother Curtis read in the book of Ruth. Ruth is probably the main character of this story, and I'm sure most of you have read the little book. It's just four chapters many times. But there's another character in that story by the name of Naomi. And Naomi is as much, I think, the subject of this story as Ruth. So even though we're going to kind of focus on Ruth this morning, I want us to just realize that this book is full of lessons, and I can't really cover all of it in one message, but I'm diverting this morning from the Ten Commandments from the Home message for this. I was reading through the book of Ruth just recently, and I thought, here's some lessons that I believe God especially wants to impress upon not only us as mothers, but there are general lessons here that we can learn from Ruth's life. Now, she's what I would call a model mother. Now, when we first meet her, she wasn't a mother, of course. But we know her as the mother of, or actually the great-grandmother of King David. She was the mother of a little boy named Obed. And Obed became the father of Jesse, and Jesse became the father of David. So I'm sure you've noticed that the little book of Ruth comes before the books of Kings and Chronicles. And that's by design, because it really lays the foundation for the historical books. How David especially came into being. It's awesome, isn't it, to think that we would not be here without our mothers, without our grandmothers, great-grandmothers, and we could go all the way back to Eve, our first mother. But here is a mother who is a model. Now, if she's not a model in the usual sense of that term, I don't know what she looked like. I think she must have been beautiful, and certainly had an inner beauty that was even more, enhanced her beauty even more. She was from the land of Moab, so she wasn't even an Israelite. Israelite by birth. I'm sure you understand, or if you've read the book, you understand a little bit, I trust, of these circumstances that brought about Ruth's coming into the nation of Israel and how she met Boaz. It's a beautiful story, a beautiful true story. Love stories are beautiful, but true love stories are even more beautiful. I want to encourage you today to read the little book of Ruth if you haven't recently, because you'll have a blessing and there'll be things that God will bring out to you that I'm not going to be able to share with you this morning. But I want us to think about what we can learn from this model mother. Ruth, the model mother, can teach us about several things, several aspects of our life, of a life that I believe God wants us to be. And the first thing that she can teach us about is character. Character. Ruth was a person of character. That's obvious. Now, I don't know what all of her background is. You can't find it here in the Bible. To my knowledge, we don't know about her birth and the circumstances of her family and her upbringing. But we meet her as the wife of Naomi's son. We're not told whether it's Mahlon or Chilion. One of those two sons was the husband of Ruth. And I would suggest to you this morning, as you look at the scripture there, Ruth chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17 especially, and chapter 2 verses 11 through 12. I wish we could look at the whole book this morning, but I wanted to cover it this morning and not this afternoon. So there's so much here that we could learn. But I'm just suggesting to you three qualities of a mother, qualities that a mother ought to emulate. And not just a mother, but all of us who aspire to be godly and to be dedicated to the Lord, as Ruth was. Well, first of all, there was a character. And that character was formed by circumstances. Now, circumstances form our character, don't they? Now, you think of the circumstances in your life. They've helped to mold the character that you are. Now, not entirely circumstances, of course. But, for example, Ruth had a tragedy in her life. She became a widow at a young age. We don't know how old, but I think that she was a young woman when she became a widow. We know that Naomi and her husband Elimelech were there in the land of Moab for 10 years. And during that time, their two sons were married, and Ruth was the wife of Mahlon, or Chilion. And there came a tragedy. Not just one of the sons, but both died. And you could think of the tragedy perhaps even greater for Naomi. She said when she returned, "Don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara," which means bitter. "Because my life has been bitter. I've been taken. My two sons have been taken from me." And Ruth shared in that sorrow. We don't seek after sorrow. We don't seek after trials and problems in life. But if you're a parent, you know that you're going to have problems, and you've had them, and you're going to have more. And didn't Jesus say that in this world we would have tribulation? I wish that things would always go the way I'd like for them to go. I have a wonderful plan for my life. But sometimes God has other plans. I'm sure when Ruth was married, I'm sure that she must have had all kinds of thoughts about what her life should be like. And now suddenly she finds herself a young widow with no one. I don't know that she was that close to her family even. It would seem like Naomi became her family. But her character was molded by circumstances. Sometimes we say, "Well, I'm doing well under the circumstances." You've said that, I'm sure. Or you've thought it. Or you've heard somebody else say it. But we're not to have our character formed entirely by circumstances. There are choices that we make in life that determine our character. And I think Ruth made those choices early on. To our knowledge, she was a pure young woman. Only had one husband. And God took him from her. But she maintained her purity and her character by the choices that she made. Now there was another woman by the name of Oprah. I'm sorry, it's not Oprah, but Orpah. Orpah is a more famous name to us today, but Orpah was her name. And she was the sister-in-law, you understand that. And she was a noble character too, evidently. And they both went back with Naomi, or started to go back at least with Naomi. Now there had been a famine in the land of Judah. And Naomi and her husband Elimelech went to the land of Moab. I think Elimelech probably made the decision, as most husbands did in those days. Now I know that's different today too, but I'm not sure. I'm sure that he must have consulted with with Naomi. And Naomi was obviously a very smart woman, a very self-motivated woman. She had also learned through these same circumstances, some of the same circumstances that Ruth did, and it formed her character as well. But there was a choice that came to Ruth and to Orpah, whether to go back or whether to come to the land of promise with Naomi. Now, that was a land of promise. Those promises were yet unfulfilled. They didn't know what was going to meet them there in Judah. They assumed that things would be better than they were, but it was really an act of faith that made Ruth stay with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, remember, that this was her mother-in-law. I know some wives don't get along that well with their mothers-in-law, and some husbands don't get along with their mother-in-law. But this was a entirely different situation. And let me say that if you have a mother-in-law, God has given her to you as much as He has your own mother. I love my mother-in-law. She is a godly woman, much like Naomi in the Scriptures. And Ruth must have thought, well, here is someone who is really my mother. Because she acted more like a mother to Ruth than perhaps her own mother. But it was an act of faith that made her say, don't beg me to go back. Don't beg me to go back to my own land. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. So she made a commitment. She made a choice. Notice the contrast between Naomi or Orpah and Ruth. Did you notice that one kissed and one clave, if you have a King James Version? One kissed goodbye and one clave to her mother-in-law. And then one went back and one stayed. And of course that one was Ruth. The world is full of Orpahs, kind and well-intentioned people, but who lack selfless love and wholehearted commitment. One of my favorite preachers named Alexander McLaren said this about Orpah. He said, Orpah is the first in the sad series of those not far from the kingdom of God, who needed but a little more resolution at the critical moment, and for want of it, shut themselves out from the covenant and sank back to a world which they had half renounced. But Ruth made the right choice, and that formed her character. But another quality of Ruth, and a quality which we should emulate, is compassion. And that compassion was revealed in her kindness. In verse 8, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord show kindness to you. Well, the Lord did show kindness to Ruth, but He showed it in a different way than Orpah thought. And she returned that kindness to her mother-in-law, Naomi, who would have been destitute, who would have been without a family. What a kind woman she is. Have you read recently the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs? 31st, rather. I want to read to you just a little bit about the virtuous woman. Because I think that, remember, Solomon, well, this says the words of Lemuel, but I think that's another name for Solomon. That's my own opinion. Solomon wrote this, I believe. But it says in chapter 31 and verse 10, a wife of noble character who can find. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark, and she provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. See, she doesn't sit around and eat bonbons all day, like some mothers today, whatever bonbons are. But no, she's industrious. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grabs the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hand to the needy. You see, she's kind. All of them. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. Well, kindness was one of the qualities there of that noble woman described by Solomon. I think it was Solomon. I know it says Lemuel, but we don't know of King Lemuel. So I think it was Solomon. I think it was, a screen name. He had a screen name named Lemuel. But anyway, he thought about his great-great-grandmother, Ruth, I believe, when he wrote that. Because that describes Ruth. It was compassion revealed in kindness. It was compassion revealed in concern. Her love for her adopted mother, I'm sure you've noticed that. And how she was concerned not just to feel compassion, but to do something about it. Concern is where we put compassion into motion. And there was continuance. Orpah was not lacking in compassion, but her compassion had a limit to it. When she reached the city limits, that's when she turned back. So there was a limit to her compassion, but not to Ruth. Let me ask you, have you come to that point in your life when you say, well, I just can't take any more. I feel like God has put on me more than I can bear. And you have maybe said to God, I can't do it anymore. Well, Ruth just simply went. And she continued with her mother in an act of faith, in an act of love, in an act of continuance of compassion. And we find that throughout her life. I'm sure that there were times later in her life when, you know, little Obed broke the cookie jar. Or he did something else and maybe sassed his mom, the cardinal sin of a child. But no, I'm sure that there were times later in his teenage years when he probably had a streak of rebellion. Thought his mother didn't know anything, like most kids do. And then later, as he matured into manhood, he thought about his mother. And he must have thought words similar to these. I found these words written by William Blake, the very gifted English poet and painter. And he wrote a little poem, I believe in tribute to his own mother. And perhaps thinking of himself when he said, the little boy lost in the lonely fen, led by the wandering light, began to cry, but God, ever nigh, appeared like his father in white. He kissed the child and by the hand led and to his mother brought, who in sorrow, pale, through the lonely dale, her little boy weeping sought. That's the heart of a mother, heart of compassion. And I see that in Ruth. But there's also conviction in Ruth. Conviction which was stated. And we have the words there in chapter 1, where she said to Naomi, your people will be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Now that's a great statement. It's heard many times in weddings where I think it is appropriate. But too often it is only stated. And that statement then becomes really an empty profession. But that wasn't so with Ruth. Not only was it stated, it was started, that conviction. It was a fulfilled commitment. Ruth returned with her mother. She was industrious like the virtuous woman in Psalm 31. She had no time even for self-pity, though we would say she surely deserved it for all she had been through. She didn't expect charity to come to her. She started. She made the steps toward conviction. Many times we say things that maybe we don't really mean. I think about Orpah, who also made a very similar profession of loyalty, of wanting to return with her mother. But in the end, she went back. So there was a conviction started with Ruth that made her different. And then a conviction that was steadfast over in the chapter 2 there, the verses that Brother Curtis read. I want to call our attention back to there. Boaz said to Ruth, I've been told about all you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother. This was after she met Boaz. And it's a beautiful story. I want to encourage you to read it if you haven't read it recently, about how Ruth went to work in a field. She didn't know whose it was. But I'm sure she went out with a prayer, God, direct me to the place you want me to be. And she met Boaz. And Boaz said this, I've been told about all that you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your home and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." She had stated her conviction. She had started and taken steps to fulfill that commitment that she made. And then she was steadfast. She fulfilled what she had stated. And the story, of course, becomes even more beautiful. If we had time, I would talk about Ruth's cunning. I don't have that on the PowerPoint slide here, but I'll just give you this for free. She was cunning. That means she was smart. And she had not just smarts, you know, a native intelligence, but she had wisdom. And it shows in what she did in chapter 3, her charms. Well, God has gifted women with charms. You've met a charming person, I'm sure. And I know there are some Prince Charming. But Ruth listened to advice. She was not overly sensitive to the point of boldness. She won Boaz over to her. She did not overstep the bounds of virtue and propriety. And she was blessed of the Lord. Now I know it looks kind of suspicious, a woman going and sleeping at the foot of a man. But there was nothing impure with that. She maintained her purity. But she had these charms, and there was a beautiful courtship. And marriage and motherhood followed. Many have speculated on the purpose of the book of Ruth. I suppose you could say that it teaches that God is no respecter of persons. And here is one who was outside of the kingdom, so to speak, that came into the kingdom by faith. She was a type of those of us today who are adopted into God's family through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is also a historical vignette shedding light on the history of Israel. Certainly teaches the beauty of marital love. And as we mentioned, the genealogy of David and ultimately the King of Kings, the greater son of David, came from Ruth. You may have noticed that in the genealogies of Jesus, Ruth is very conspicuous. Someone wrote the little acrostic for mother. And in closing, I'd like to just read this again to you. His name was Howard Johnson. I don't know that he was the one who started the Howard Johnson. Isn't there a Howard Johnson chain of motels? I don't know whether it was that Howard Johnson, but it was around 1915. He wrote these words: M, spelling out mother. M is for the million things she gave me. And you think of your mother and the million things that she gave you. If you have a living mother, be sure to call her today. Tell her you love her. Thank her for all of the things that you did, that she's done for you. And I think that these words were even put into a song. I'm not going to sing them. I don't remember the song, but I remember hearing it. Old means only that she's growing old. I would say older. Because you're only as old as you think you are, isn't that right?
Amen.
Like I think I'm maybe 72, somewhere around there. I used to think I was younger. Means only that she's growing old. And we ought to care for our mothers as they grow older. We never stop being the child or the son or daughter of our mother. T is for the tears she shed to save me. Think of the many tears that your mother shed for you, certainly from the time that you were born, but many times throughout your life. And I dare say that if you have a living mother, that she's still shedding a tear for you. H is for her heart of purest gold. E is for her eyes with love light shining. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. God bless our mothers.